This podcast is brought to you by Art Margins, the online journal of East and Central European contemporary art. Download more podcasts and read interviews, articles, and reviews at www.artmargins.com.
First of all, I want to thanks for this great opportunity to participate in this conference, also to visit Neo-Gothic University of Chicago here. I like Gothic and spirits who destroy me this night. First half of night I sleep, other half of night I spend with the souls of the students who don't finish University of Chicago. I start with some troubles. My profession is to produce troubles. Troubles in the theory, especially in art history. Art history is my really enemy. Joachim Winckelmann, this person is my everyday enemy. I have everyday problems with the construction and performing of art history and producing what we understand as the truth of the art. I don't believe in the truth of the art. I hate art as worker hate machine which work every day. It's sentence by Achille Bonito Oliva, Italian art historian, also sent paraphrasing Marx's sentence that he hate philosophy like worker hate machine which work and produce goods every day. But I want to produce some troubles. I try to produce these troubles in the manner of the, dilettante way. When I use the term dilettante, I use it in the sense of Austrian philosopher Ostermayer, who said the most important dilettantes in 20th century have been Ludwig Wittgenstein and Jacques Lacan. They don't know anything about the philosophy and humanities, and they ask basic questions which professionals doesn't ask. And I want to ask these basic questions, stupid questions, how and what is art history, and how we produce the term neo-avant-garde in conditions of real socialism. If I want to do it, I'd have to discuss four theses. My first thesis is thesis about the language. You see, my language is terrible. This is not English English, it is not TOEFL English, it is not American English, it is my native South East European English. What does it mean, my native South East European English? It means that I speak something wrong in academic sense, that I produce some kind of identification. But I'm proud of this language. I'm proud of it as on the Serbian, Croatian, Bosnian, Macedonian, all other ex-Yugoslavian languages. It is part of my life. My ambition is not to teach in the United States, but is teach in the Central or East Europe. And I can use this language. But what is question of the language? Why I start with the language in the lecture or paper on the visual arts? Because when you use the term East Europe in the title of the conference, we have serious problem. What is East Europe? Is it Central Europe? Is it Middle Europe? It is Balkan? It is Baltic? Well, for example, if start to compare Baltic countries and Balkan countries, so it's impossible. I couldn't imagine how can we compare such different countries. Only relation is communism or real socialism or in this moment transition or more worst reconstruction of the national bourgeois countries. Many years I have dreamed of the end of the communism, real socialism. But what's happened in the end? Happened that we have old-fashioned bourgeois nationalist countries with the stupid identification models which produce something in the middle of the nowhere. But what is really East Europe? What is Central Europe? I find one great definition of the Central Europe. I think this definition we can use and apply on ex-Yugoslavia, Serbia, Southeast Europe, maybe all East Europe, except Soviet Union. I don't know anything about the Soviet Union. It's out of my way of thinking. I don't like to think about empires in this moment. But what is Central Europe? It is the space where mother, father and child speak on different languages at the same time and don't understand there. In all notions, in all moments. It is when we speak on different languages in small space, small groups, small ethnical groups, small states. We speak on different languages and we proud on it, as I am proud on my Southeast European English. These small countries, these small cultures, try to find how to translate their relations with the big West, big East, with the contemporary and the history of the modern or the history in general art. And they have big problem. Why? If I ask you, who is Phidias? Everybody who studied art history is ABC, know it, Greek sculpture. But if I ask you, please say me the name of one big and important Thracian sculpture from the Phidias time. You couldn't mention any name. You couldn't find it. About what I speak about the identity, power, representation, identification with art. It's first thesis about the language and Central Europe. My thesis is that East Europe, Central Europe are not geographical, not historical places or topos of the history or geography. It is the construction of the cultural politics, social political, and way how art history produce contextual space and identification. Second thesis is on modernism. What is modernism? Many years I wrote in my PhD about the Clement Greenberg. I know everything about him. I read every paper he produces. He's really great. Today, it's the reason why I like social realist paintings. Social realist painting is good painting or good painter's work in Greenberg sense. They produce good technical, formalistic realization. It's paradox. But what is modernism? When we say modernism, we have binary relation, opposition between modernism and non-modernism. And we say modernism is formalistic, non-modernism is communist art, fascist art, national socialist art. But it's really not true. All of these notions which I mentioned in last words are modernistic projects, modernistic expressions in specific crisis of liberal capitalism, representation of the modernization with different means. We have not coherent question of modernism. I find these ideas in the writings of the English art historian Charles Harrison when he spoke and wrote about the two voices of modernism. He speaks about American modernism of 50s and 60s. But now I can say that exist many voices of modernism. Why? For example, French Cubism, Serbian Cubism, Hungarian Cubism, Czech Cubism, Baltic Cubism, Polish Cubism, quite different Cubisms, quite different conception of modernity. You couldn't find in French Cubism religious Catholic symbols. In Czech Cubism you can find it. In Serbian you can find something other. We have not coherent model of modernism. We have different definitions, or if you like, different discursive production of the reality of the past. Not same coherent story which cover everything. I learned this idea, I start to learn it from the Charles Harrison writing, but I finished with feminist art history. Feminist art history show very important thing, that we have not coherent story, that we have different possibilities, different discursive strategies. And you can find in the Althusserian school of the feminism difference between ideology and politics. Every art is ideological. Every art participates in construction, performing, and presentation of reality. But every art is political or not? One answer, yesterday, In your presentation, you speak about the political manipulation of art. But every art is political, in sense of Chantal Mouffe, that participate in construction of the social relations. But art history, with discursive power, cut some things. One example from American history, when we say Jackson Pollock, we always know dripping, but everybody forgotten his regional social realist-oriented painting from 30s and 40s. We forgot that some things are not part of the picture of modernity. So my second thesis is that modernism, the question of modernism, is very troubled model which we couldn't take as coherent picture, but picture of different discursive confrontation and different discursive interests and ideological productions of reality of the history of art. Third thesis is about neo-avant-garde. What is neo-avant-garde? Now in the Central and East Europe, neo-avant-garde is very popular. Everybody start to buy and to sell neo-avant-garde art from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, especially Austrian foundations, especially Generali, Italian Generali foundations, Erste Bank, make great collections of the East European or Southeast European neo-avant-garde art. In one moment, neo-avant-garde out from the academic historical interpretation and became actual monet, actual elements in the game of the construction of identity of the our past in East or Southeast Europe. But what is neo-avant-garde? First, when Peter Birger wrote about the neo-avant-garde, he used negative qualification. It is second-hand avant-garde in sense of the historical avant-garde. It is, neo-avant-garde is something what repeat or reconstruct or use or appropriate historical, authentic and original products of the historical or classical avant-garde. It's one model which exists. Other model which put Benjamin Buchholz, for example, is connected with idea that new avant-garde is something connected with the transformation of the high art into popular or mass culture, or relation with the cultural industry. For example, many theoreticians from the East or Southeast European, from the Saint Boris Groys to Piotr Piotrowski to Marina Gerzhinich and other people who wrote about East Europe, you could find that speak about something what is characteristic of the period of otherness in the middle of the real socialism or communism. It is some kind of otherness in relation with dominant state art. What it means? But I find a few months ago the one interview from the mid-70s by Pierre Stanis, French art historian, critics who support new realism in France, who said, conceptual art and neo-avant-garde art is real art for the East Europe. He said, in East Europe you couldn't produce high paintings. You couldn't produce high art quality in formalist way. You can work with the trash traces, or in the Lydian sense, erase traces of the everyday life, behavior, or subversion, but not real products. And what is neo-avant-garde? I'm not sure. I will show you for a few minutes some examples. But in this moment, I couldn't say who is right of this person. I think that all these theories produce some possibility and potentiality, and especially discursive interest for catching problem. And last thesis is Yugoslavia. Maybe it is most difficult, most dark, most bloody, most dangerous problem. But I really like historical Yugoslavia. It was a terrible communist country. I wait the end of this country. But this country disappeared in the war of 90s, happened something terrible. It was better in time of Yugoslavia. today many workers think about it. For example, I living in ex-Yugoslavia, but I never learn, I never go an exam about Marx. First time in my life, I read Marx text in the mid-90s, when the communism was finished, when we start again story about the capital. What is Yugoslavia? What is very complex situation in Yugoslavia? It is six republics, six or nine or 10 or 100 different nations in small space with different interests, with indifferent confrontations, with different cultural, social identifications and politics. In this situation, Yugoslavian communist time was in specific game. In this game, I use the name Tito, but I don't speak about personally about the president of Yugoslavia. I don't know anything about him. I speak about him as symbolical representative of Communist Party. It's more shorter to use his name Tito. In Tito's time, Yugoslavia exists on the inner confrontation. He worked with the sixth Communist Party in the frame of Yugoslavia. Every of this party was in some concurrence. This concurrence, he, as arbitrary person, made solution for the conflict, for the situation. It was inside story. Outside story is more complex, and it's fantastic in some way. It is a real socialist country, or communist country, if you like this word more. I like more the word real socialism. It means socialism which have bureaucratic institutions which control everyday life. But in that sense, Tito's Yugoslavia exists between East and West. After 48, when he broke with the Soviet Union, he made a game between East and West and produced third solution. It is the Third World. Third World, which he tried to articulate with India, with Egypt, and other countries, a new movement between East and West, between NATO and between Warsaw Pact. But in cultural sense, what it mean? In cultural sense, it means that Tito produced possibility for the free art. Free art in Western sense. What is mean free art in Western sense? After the mid-50s, in Yugoslavia start new wave of the modernist art. Modernist art connected dominantly with the Paris School or New York School. Some Yugoslav artists and art historians spend their scholarships in United States, New York, or in Paris. Also, many communist painters got Fulbright stipend. Non-communist painters couldn't got Fulbright stipend. It's paradox of communist time and American Cold War. But these painters and art historians come in Belgrade and or ex-Yugoslavia and try to reconstruct the story about the modernism. One of the Serbian aestheticians and literary critics, Sveta Lukic, introduced term for it. It is social aestheticism. 20 years later, Croato-Serbian art historian Jesha Denegri introduced term social modernism for the same thing. It means modernist art in the social socialist circumstances. And for whom this art was? This art was produced for the new bureaucratic and technocratic class of the communism or real socialism after the revolution. After the revolution, you have new class of the people who have to govern country, who have to put institutions, to put rationality, liberalization, and functionalism on the socialist way. And it was Tito's idea to put such kind of the modernism, such kind of the modernist painting in the manner of Jackson Pollock, late Matisse, late Picasso, Jean Arp sculpture, Henry Moore would have been two times in Belgrade in the late 50s. All of these art produce idea of the new modernity. Also, one lawyer, good paint, abstract painter, Miodrag B. Protić, spent 6 months in New York in the Museum of Modern Art, to make concept of the new Museum of Modern Art in Belgrade. And such museum is opened in 66. This museum is constructed on the idea of the American Museum and Bar's concept of Museum of Modern Art, but in socialist circumstances. It's funny that I find similar museum only in ex-Soviet Union, in Germania, city Yerevan, which exists similar museum, which is connected with the similar principles of construction of the idea of the local modernity in social circumstances. In such situation, start neo-avant-garde. Neo-avant-garde start as a reaction, not on the social realism, but as a reaction on the modest or socialist modernism. Its first important point, neo-avant-garde is not a subversion and destruction of social realism, it is subversion of the modest modernism. Second important thing, that neo-avant-garde as subversive, critical, interdisciplinary, experimental art was supported by government. But how it was supported by government? All experimental art was put in the students' cultural institutions. Some kind of the cultural reservoirs, out of the public information, out of the media. In specific sense, cynical art historian could say, yes, neo-avant-garde exists for the West, to see Americans that we have our Capro, our Jones, our Cage, our Carol Schneemann. But also we put them in reservoir to show to the Soviet Union that we control everything and that we make a game and control it and put it on the right place. This contradictory situation is fantastic cultural policy. Second thing, Tito's bureaucrats find that many neo-avant-garde artists who work, for example, in Slovenia, produce troubles. But if you put them to exhibit in Serbia or Croatia, they are aesthetical projects, not political and subversive. This transformation in the other republic produced soft transformation of the subversity. It's a fantastic model of the cultural policy. And my main thesis in this lecture is that neo-avant-garde, avant-garde, modernism are not stylistic projects. They are discursive construction of the cultural and social politics in specific cultural circumstances. It's a reason why yesterday when we visit Chicago's Institute of Art, surprised that I couldn't see American regional realisms from the 30s, 40s, or 50s. Only modernist paintings. And I believe that I find in Chicago American regionalism. I wait to see it. I only saw it in my life on reproductions, not in reality, but I was disappointed. But it is the question of the cultural politics. Art function in the system, or your artum dento sense world of art, which is this discursive construction assumption. And if you have time, or what?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay, I'll show you just a few examples. First generation of the neo-avant-garde in ex-Yugoslavia are avant-garde artists who are still live after the Second World War. Bor, Vane Bor, surrealist photographer, one of the first gay activists in Serbia before Second World War, who lived in Oxford and produced in the 70s these abstract photos, like in the 20s. Ljubomir Micić, not gay person, person who is married with a woman, Anuška Micić, who produced fantastic collages and who was cut off the public life in communist Yugoslavia and make some kind of male art communication with the old avant-garde artists through the Europe. And Croatian architecture Josip Sisel, who was known in avant-garde time as Joklek, who was the urbanist and professor of architecture after the Second World War. Three quite different stories, three quite different gender stories. In the 50s, start new kind of the neo-avant-garde generation. Leonid Sheikha, anti-modernist, who worked with Tito's name on the wall, trash space, typical today. Western curators like this artwork. It is typical social life in social real socialism. Ivan Picek, Croatian painter who produced first abstract paintings after social realism. But abstract paintings, for example, one short example, Opart in United States was example of total autonomy of art, retinal art. But Opart or geometrical abstraction in Poland, Czech Republic or Yugoslavia was political act of the freedom or construction of the liberal model of the presentation. And Vlada Radovanović, poet from the Serbia, composer, who produced visual synthesis of the image and words. Also, in Croatia, group Gorgona, who worked with the absurdity of everyday life. Tomislav Gotovac, director, film director, who naked run in the city. In communist time, if women do it, everybody be happy. But one man produce it, everybody are afraid. They ask what's happened, what is wrong? It's wrong, it's a question of gender. And last moment is, it is the Slovenian group OHO who produced the happening with the three hippie heads which simulate Triglav, the national mountain in Slovenia. But the funny, the person in this Triglav, you can see it, it's something wrong with these photos, is David Nace, American, who left United States in 68 because he don't want to go in Vietnam War and studied in Ljubljana. But in all Tito's magazines, newspapers wrote that CIA sent David Nace to introduce neo-avant-garde and conceptual art in Yugoslavia. But David Nace really was the free person. He do everything what he want. And last important thing, and I finish with this, is that institutionalization. In the late 60s, many institutions are open to cover and to frame new avant-gardes. BITEF, Belgrade International Theater Festival, Biennale of Music in Zagreb, BITEF, Film Festival, all these in manifestation or new tendencies Biennale exhibition in Croatia produce social frame for the new avant-garde. But this social frame don't mean that this art became mainstream. This art was just controlled and put as good, free-oriented expression of the real socialist context. What is point of this my lecture? Point is simple. Art doesn't exist. Exist discursive net in which some cultural artifacts we translate, introduce, interpret as art. Art is always net determined. In altisser sense, it means that